who knows? Right, now we move on to management of demand on health services, and I think that this probably mainly focuses on the hospital. I don't know, last year I think we were one of the few hospitals to cope with the winter demand. How are we doing this year, Maggie?
Thanks, John. And I would ask for some clarity because my understanding from our board secretary is that this was not an item for us for help. I'm happy to answer it in the way you framed, but I just don't want to. I just would like to just clarify.
That was my understanding. Apologies if there's been any confusion. I think we weren't asked to provide any information. Very happy to provide the latest update.
It's about all the services, but I think, you know, the first focus was the hospital because that's the one that's in the news all the time.
I'm actually delighted to talk to this item. Sorry, I don't know what that is, we, as the same as last year, we've had a thorough period of preparation for winter. We, not only ourselves, but we've worked with our commissioning colleagues on the local authority. We have mainly delivery board, which meets regularly and has overseen the plans that we have for winter. We have to submit them to all the regulatory bodies, NHSI and NHSC, and we've got positive feedback around the COVID constructed. We really now are entering into week six of those winter planning period. And touch wood, we have seen some really great progress in the delivery of the winter plan. I'm going to come on and touch upon it in the report subsequent to this, but I'm really pleased that for the first time in many months, we are now starting to be able to deliver against the 4-hour emergency access standard. So winter so far for us, albeit the temperatures have been somewhat kind to us, We've seen the same level of that we were predicting based on last year's calculations, and we've seen that operationally we've been able to manage both the peaks and troughs of that demand in a way which is a big part of marketing would verify as well. Of the 5 acute providers across Hampshire and including ourselves on the Isle of Wight, there are some days when we are delivering the best performance out of the 5. And we've not slipped below third place for the last couple of weeks. So we're making good progress with the delivery of the plans. Doesn't mean we're out of the woods yet. We had a meeting internally today just to look at what could happen this weekend with this predicted bad weather that could hit the south coast. And we'd love to see if the plans deliver against any adverse weather if it should come. But we're really pleased with where we find ourselves at week six.
Thank you, Maggie. My understanding from the Trust Board meetings I've attended is that this warm summer you actually had a greater demand than during the winter. Should we not have all year round management?
Yeah, I mean, it's misleading if I was to say to you we've got a winter plan. We've got capacity plans which look at surges in demand all year round. We have appendices to that. One is for the summer for heat wave, and one is if we get a winter adverse conditions, and the other is if we get infection control outbreaks as well. So we do have all year round resilience plans which cover peaks and troughs. WRI, we were greatly troubled in that prolonged heat wave here on the island. We saw a great deal of capacity issues hit our emergency at portals. The difference usually in the summer is it's high demand because we've got the tourist element to the island as well, and people who can't just access their usual facilities are unsure of how to get care to default. But we normally in the summer see the high demand, but the patients that we see are less sick. Over the winter period, we get the elderly frailty who require a lot more support, not only from ourselves but from local authority colleagues as well. But as I say, so far we're holding up well this year.
Do I understand, Maggie, that there is a difference between this year and last year, a significant difference? That significant difference is that you haven't had to cancel any elective surgery this year.
And so, Joe, you steal the thunder from the report a bit later on. We remain very challenged as an organisation. We still have an inadequate rated CQC rating. As you know, we wait with bated breath for the arrival of the CQC for the next iteration of their visits. But we struggle to deliver our access targets for referral to treatment for outpatients, for some of the surgical procedures, and some of our cancer treatments. So the referral to treatment that you're alluding to, John, very much is dictated upon how many beds are available to us. And the less ably we manage the emergency admission through the front door has an impact on the beds that we've got available for us for routine elective operations. And as I say, so far this year, apart from some operations that we've had to cancel on the day because we've had staff sicknesses, so the surgeon goes sick on the day, and we've got no alternative to cancel. But the routine cancellations that we saw last winter as a result of having no beds available this year is greatly diminished and, in fact, almost reduced. But I always think the caveat of we've still got what could be halfway through January, correct? But we've still got another couple of months which could be quite significant for us.
Thank you, Maggie. Perhaps we could hear from other providers.
Certainly, Chair. From an adult sort of care perspective, this is such an important part of the work that we do. People shouldn't be in hospital for reasons that are very well rehearsed. We are absolutely part and parcel of working in order to ensure that they can leave hospital with the speed that is needed. So some of the things that we do here, which makes us quite unusual, if you're funded by adult social care to receive domiciliary care, home care, we continue to fund that care for the first 48 hours that you're in hospital. We do that so that actually the private companies that provide the vast majority of domiciliary care don't effectively lose that slot for that person. We don't differentiate as a local authority whether you're eligible for adult social care or you're not eligible for adult social care, in that you have to fund your own services, your own adult social care services. In that adult social care, as everybody is aware, nationally, it's the law, it's means tested. So we provide free brokerage and care and support to people in the same way in which we're organising it ourselves. We do an incredible amount of inreach into the hospital through our reopening service. On average, 150 visits to patients every single week, just from reopening. So we provide that, and we don't only do that inreach at the point at which the person's deemed to be medically fit for discharge, but as early as possible in order to work together with our ward colleagues around doing the planning. We equally provide social workers at weekends in order to do inreach into the medical assessment unit, so that actually we can try to divert admissions into hospital as well. But the most important thing is the extra one-off funding that's been made available for this year and also for the next financial year. So we have received, in the way in which Martin announced some really good news of the extra 12 million or so for the CCG, the local authority was awarded at the end of October, and the money's actually received in November, £766,415 in order to support winter pressures. The vast majority of that has gone to where it needs to go, which is increased home care. So the local authority is establishing its own internal home care service, which will be focused on one thing only, providing short-term care at home for people immediately from hospital. So operate in a very, very different way to the private sector companies out there. It's a very important point to make. And we're also setting up, and we know that NHSE is interested in this, a PA service as well for people who are leaving hospital. So I'm quite excited about some of the work that we're doing around the very welcome, much needed, additional funds which have come, the plans of which, of course, have been jointly signed off by the council and the health department.
Thank you, Carol.
Can I just add as well? I think it's been really pleasing in the last few months, the way that we have been able to intensify our working relationships with the social care and commissioning. Some of the changes that we've made internally, which have given us the benefits that our community now seen through, particularly if they were to attend ED, would not have been possible without an improvement in the relationships and particularly the focus we've been able to have together on the backdoor processes and the discharge. I just also wanted to add that whilst Carol's very happy that we received the funding into social care to help the winter, when I'm back here with you next time, I'm talking about our financial position, because we have to resubmit our financial position for the trust on the 16th of January. We will be reporting a deterioration financially, and one of the reasons that's contributing to that is this year we didn't get central funding to cover some of our winter costs. So we saw it for the system, we saw a benefit through social care, but we've actually suffered a loss as well through health. And it's important for you to hold that thought when I can talk to you about some of the practices that have contributed to our financial position deterioration.
Martin, was there anything you wanted to comment on there? Thank you. Any questions, members? John?
Only a quick statement. I would like to thank the President very much, but I'd like to thank Carol and Claire for what they've done to the Gouldings and the West Wyatt to improve the facilities there for local people for intermediate care. And it's worked out very well, so much better. Thank you.
Sally, I didn't mean to overlook you. Is there nothing on this side of you?
We'll move on.
We'll move on to the